You're not here, you're going to miss out on spiritual blessing.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
Proverbs chapter 1, if we would. They can hear us out front now that Thornton put in the put in the new battery for us. Everybody's in the overflow room. Nobody's in the auditorium.
Yeah,
Proverbs 1. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together, and we thank you for giving us your word and your Holy Spirit to teach us thereby. And Father, we pray that you would be our teacher this morning, all throughout the service, Father, that it would be your Spirit that speaks to our hearts, to our minds. Lord, that these things would be not just words, but your words, living words, words that sink into our hearts and dwell in us richly and overflow in us, out of us, through us. Father, that the life that we enjoy might be seen and enjoyed by those that we touch. Father, we thank you for all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Okay, the book of Proverbs we've come to in our daily Bible reading, and Proverbs is one of my favorites. It's always hard to say that. It's one of my favorites, a favorite verse or a favorite passage or a favorite book. It's you end up having all of them as your favorites, but I enjoy the book of Proverbs. I really do. It's I find it extremely edifying and helpful and stimulating, and it's just a great book. The book of Proverbs. We'll read the first 6 verses or so. What I'd like to do is just kind of take an overview. Very kind of brief and high-level overview of the book itself, and particularly of these first 9 chapters, which are kind of an introduction to the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. So those first 6 verses there are kind of a very brief introduction, giving the purpose of the book. And the purpose of the book of Proverbs, where we are here in our Bible, we're right in the middle of the what's called the wisdom literature. Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and these books here we call the wisdom literature of the Bible. And what the Proverbs is, really, come with me over to Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. Ecclesiastes is the next book, also a book of Solomon. Solomon has 3 books in the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And they're set here for different purposes, and the tone and the theme of each of these books is very different. But here in Ecclesiastes, what the book of Proverbs is essentially is just a list and a group of individual short sayings, what the heading in my Bible calls, for the most part, moral virtues and their contrary vices. And I like that title. That's essentially what the book of Proverbs is. It's do this, don't do that, and just short little snippets and seemingly random and kind of unrelated to each other. You don't really read the Proverbs as you would another book, because it doesn't flow that way. It's just statements. Here's one, here's another one, here's another one. But I want to show you, because one of the overriding thoughts and themes of Proverbs is this: the words of the wise and their dark sayings that we just read about. And there's a lot beneath the surface in the book of Proverbs. And so if you like to study and to dig out and to search and meditate and find things in the Bible, Proverbs is a great place to do it, in all the writings of Solomon. But I just want to show you this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, verse 8. He says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity," and that's the theme of Ecclesiastes. "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs." So as you go through the Proverbs, they're seemingly disconnected and unrelated, and there doesn't appear to be a flow of thought through this book. But Solomon, who wrote the thing, says that there is. He set these proverbs in order. So there is a logic to them. There is an order to them. And I'll leave you to as you go through the book, look for that and see if there's not a flow of thought in that after all. The Proverbs, if you just read it through, it is very disconnected. But the Proverbs are not made to just read through. The Proverbs are made to sit upon and to rest on and to meditate on and to kind of give yourself to. And when you do that, you realize that there is a flow of thought through the book. Back in, before we leave here, keep reading. There's a good outline. There's a lot of good outlines in Solomon's writings. He gives you a lot of lists and things like that. So if you like to do that kind of study, there's a good outline here for preachers in verse 8 again, or verse 9. "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He gave good heed. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." And in those verses, there's an outline for how to teach people. You want to start with the wisdom that God gives you. You want to, in order to teach the people knowledge, it says he gave good heed. So that's meditating yourself on these, on the truths, and thinking about them. He sought out, and there's a study there that needs to be done. Set in order. You want to put your points in some kind of a followable pattern. Set in order many proverbs. He sought to find out acceptable words. You want to put things in words that people can understand, in words of truth. "And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love that. Solomon, after he writes all of this wisdom and puts down and the only a fraction of his proverbs are here in these books. King says that he wrote 3,000 of them. I think we've got some 300 and some. But after all of that writing and all of that teaching and all that making many books, he says, look, you can study forever, and of the making of many books there is no end. And study, he tells you to study. But he says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let's just hear the end of the thing. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So fear and obey God is the conclusion that Solomon comes to here. And he says the reason is because there's a judgment coming, and God's going to bring us into judgment. But come back now, if you would, back to chapter 1 of Proverbs, Proverbs 1. I showed you that to show you this. The fear of God. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now we understand, we take all of these things in the light of what we know from Paul's epistles, and keeping God's commandments to us means that we obey the Lord according to the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. But here in Proverbs chapter 1 again, in verse 7, after that kind of mission statement of the first six verses and the statement of the purpose of the book, he starts out in chapter 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning, and the fear of the Lord is the conclusion. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then he's finally, after you go through two of his books and you come to the end, he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, hold your hand here. I just want to establish something for us. Get Ephesians and chapter 5. You know that Paul tells us, you know, we hear that term fear God and we say, well, that's not grace. But you understand that when we talk about fearing God, we're not talking about being afraid of God. Paul says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We don't cringe or shrink from our Father. We're not afraid of Him. We can approach Him with boldness, Paul says. And yet, Paul also tells us to fear God. Ephesians and chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. We won't run all the verses. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God. Talking about the judgment seat. Philippians in chapter 2. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when you see the fear of the Lord, back in Proverbs 1, with me if you would, you don't need to look at that and say, well, that's not for me. That's not talking to me. The fear of the Lord is a, what the fear of the Lord is a humble reverence for God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. In the book of Proverbs, you're going to find it 14 times. And each time, and I'll let you see them as you read through, but each instance gives you some more insight into what the fear of the Lord is and what it does. And the fear of the Lord is humility. The fear of the Lord is faith. The fear of the Lord is confidence. It's not timidity. It gives confidence. The fear of the Lord is many things throughout the book of Proverbs, but here it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the writer here, the son of David, king of Israel, in verse 1, by the way, who is the son of David, king of Israel?
Solomon.
Who else? Who is Solomon a picture of here? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into your New Testament, the first thing you read is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Turn over into the next chapter, chapter 2, and they're looking for, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? So as you're introduced immediately into the New Testament, this is what you find. The son of David, the king of Israel. And as you go through these wisdom writings, what you want to do, remember, Paul tells us that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, a teacher of mine years ago used to say, if you're having trouble with a Bible passage, understanding it, put Jesus into it and see if that helps. And sure enough, so, and as you go through these writings of Solomon, remember that Solomon, the one who's writing here, is the son of David. And the Lord Jesus Christ is thick through these writings as you go. And he says here, he, the son of David, king of Israel, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now remember, the purpose stated in those first six verses of this book and of this this wisdom literature is not just to give you proverbs and dark sayings and things that make you scratch your head, but it's to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings there in verse 6. So the book of Proverbs doesn't just give you proverbs, it gives you the skill to understand these things and then to be able to apply that skill set to the whole of Scripture. The book of Proverbs and the writings of Solomon are rich in wisdom, in understanding that extends beyond these books through from cover to cover in throughout your Bible. So it's a very valuable book. We're reading through it in our daily Bible reading, and I'm not suggesting that you stop and rest on every single proverb. You'll never get through it in your reading. But come back to it and study and do what Solomon calls us to do. Now, in these first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters are really an introduction to the book. Solomon gives a long introduction, and what you've got in these first 9 chapters is the introduction is given to us in the form of two competing women. Two women who are vying for the souls of men, and you see the struggle between these two women and between the people who they're calling to make a choice between one or the other. You see her first in chapter 1. And verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. So that's the first woman. She's wisdom. And wisdom is personified here in these first nine chapters of Proverbs. And you know, Solomon, he had issues with women. And he uses women in his illustrations often and powerfully. And but let me say something to you, lest we think, well, okay, all of this is all about Solomon's hang-ups. The woman you're introduced to here, she runs through the book, and in the last chapter, in fact, the book ends with the virtuous woman. Now, that's this woman here. But that proverb in that last chapter wasn't written by Solomon. It was written by Lemuel, and it was the prophecy that his mother taught him. So you see, even as the authors change, of course the author is the same throughout. And again, you see that continuity through this seemingly kind of disjointed, disconnected book. These proverbs are set in order, Solomon says. So don't think that they're random. There is an order to this book. So we're introduced there to wisdom, and you see her again in chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. She's called understanding, and that's that woman again. Seek her as silver. Then the competing woman, you see in verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, and she's the strange woman. She's called the evil woman, the foolish woman, but you recognize her as you go. And verse 16, the wisdom will deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now this strange woman is the competitor to wisdom. And as you go through, especially in these first nine chapters, but throughout the book, there is warning after warning after warning against adultery and against being pulled away from the one who you're called to be faithful to, and going off and being unfaithful. But again, these are the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So you read that, chapter 1, verse 6, and you go, well, that doesn't sound good. There shouldn't be dark sayings in the Bible. But you get the idea. They're under the surface. There's what's on the surface. Get that. Don't go, you know, running off on the one you're supposed to be faithful to. But below that, there is this woman, and she has a house, and wisdom has a house. Come over to chapter 9. And this wisdom is crying in the streets and lifting up her voice and crying out to the simple people like me, come in, turn in hither, come, I'll give you life and I'll give you wealth and honor and happiness and all of this. And the strange woman at the same time is out there in the streets and on the corners. You know, as you go through your Bible, adultery and whoredoms have two very different but connected meanings. And there is adultery in a marriage between a man and a woman, but then there is adultery as God sees it in departing from Him. And there is a system Just like there is a system that God has established of truth and of wisdom and of the way of the Lord and the fear of the Lord, there is a system that's competing that will that wants to seduce and bat her eyes at you and give speak flattering words to you and try to entice you to come in. And that religious system, that adulterous system out there, Solomon warns us throughout these first nine chapters, especially of Proverbs, to keep your eyes open and be on the lookout for her and recognize her when you see her and don't fall for her siren song. Chapter 9, Proverbs, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn her seven pillars. Now, you go through these nine chapters, and this woman, this is the, she appears seven times in these nine chapters. The strange woman, she appears five times. And if you count chapter 2, it's six times. I'll show you that in a minute. And Solomon says here that wisdom hath builded her house, and she hath hewn her seven pillars. And as you go through these appearances of this woman of wisdom in these first nine chapters, you again you get the flow and the formula for following what Solomon is giving you here, for seeing the wisdom, for understanding these dark sayings and these proverbs, how to get to the truth of what God is giving to us here. And as you see the strange woman, she's always trying to pull you away from that and into another place and another path. Look here. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth... Now that sounds like New Testament stuff. The king set up a marriage for his son, and he set up the place, and he filled the tables with food, and sent out his servants to call those that were bidden and so forth. You see, again, you see the Lord Jesus Christ and His person and ministry throughout these things. But she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maids, her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. So wisdom has built her house, she set her table, and she's inviting you in. Now at the same time, look over in verse 13. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. What does she say? Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's what wisdom just said, isn't it? In verse 4, exactly. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So wisdom is there, inviting you to come in and eat of her bread, and drink of the wine that she has mingled. And the foolish woman here, the strange woman, is doing the exact same thing. And she's imitating wisdom. And she's And she's inviting you in to come and drink not the mingled wine of wisdom, but the stolen waters and the secret bread, and to come and take part in her adultery. So throughout these, back in chapter 1 again, throughout this introduction, what you're seeing is this great competition between wisdom and folly, between truth and error, between God's path and the contrary path. And you get warnings in different ways and throughout this book to stay on the one and to avoid the other at all costs. Now, there's a few things I was any one of these things we could have spent all of our time on, but I thought let's just kind of get an overview as long as we're reading through this, and just kind of get an idea of what's here for us in chapter 2. You see her again in verse 3 there, but what you've got in chapter 2 in these first six verses or so is you have Solomon's formula for coming to wisdom and coming to know truth. Essentially, how to study your Bible and how to profit from it. And he says, chapter 2 of Proverbs, my son, and Solomon, he's speaking to his son and to his children through this, throughout this, and he does it as the son of his father, David. And throughout this, he says, I was the son of my father and the only beloved of my mother, and my father taught me wisdom, and he taught me these words, and now I'm teaching them to you. And what Solomon is doing here is he's following that formula that Paul gives us. Take the words that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what Solomon is doing here. And you and I, we're the faithful children who are getting it from him, and we take it, we get filled with it, and we take it out and teach it to others. So as you come into Proverbs here, you're in the middle of a chain of wisdom. And you think about Solomon as the one who, you know, he's the one who prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. He didn't pray for riches or all these other things, and God gave him wisdom. And you think of him as kind of the father of it. But he's a father in this book of Proverbs because he keeps talking to his son, but he's also a son. And he got what he got from his father. So where we come is we're part of a chain in this. What Solomon does is he brings us in and he kind of puts us on the same level as him. He says, look, I'm teaching you this stuff, but I learned it from my father and I'm giving it to you. So I want you to take it and pass it on. Teach. That's why he gave us that outline at the end of Ecclesiastes about how to be a teacher. I'll learn and follow it one day. Proverbs chapter 2, let's just go down through this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So what we're talking about here is the Word of God. What the knowledge and the understanding that comes out of God's mouth. But Solomon gives you, and what you, I would strongly encourage you, to come in and memorize these first 5-6 verses here of Proverbs chapter 2. Get this in your heart and in your mind. When you're studying your Bible, if you want to know how to understand your Bible, sometimes people come to this book and they go, you know what, it's all Greek to me. I got an English translation, but it may as well have been kept in the original language because I'm not getting any of this. Remember, the purpose of this book is not just to give you these proverbs, but to teach you how to understand them and to teach you how to understand the Word of God. So what you've got here in these several verses, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. So that's the first thing we need to do, is we need to receive them. Now, you can't receive them if you're not exposed to them. So you either got the book open in front of you, or you're here, or wherever you can hear the Word of God being taught in truth, or read it for yourself. And that's really what Solomon is talking about here, is Bible study. He says the first thing you need to do is you need to receive the words. Now, of course, receiving them is not just hearing them. Paul tells the Thessalonians, he says, you receive the word from us, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which worketh effectually also in you that believe. So to receive the word, if you receive someone into your house, what are you doing? You're opening your door. You're welcoming them in. You trust them. They're a friend. You're inviting them in. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Invite it in. So we need to receive the word. That is, hear it, expose yourself to it, and believe it. Let it be a friend to you, someone you trust and know and have confidence in. Receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, I'm going to tell you, you hear this over and over again, and I hope that you've learned it for yourself by now, but if you hadn't, let me tell you again, memorize. Memorize. Hide my commandments with thee. Why? Because you can't have an open Bible in front of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but the Word of God should be in front of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only way that that's going to happen is if you hide the Word within you. This is a good place to start. Take these 5 verses. I won't even give you 6. Take these 5 verses and memorize them. Go through. You say, how do I do that? My memory's not that good. Listen, repetition. 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 How many times should I say that? Repetition. Just go through and read it. And read it. Read it over and over. And you will, you'll start to, it's like, you know, it's like your computer screen at home, or your TV screen. You put a game on there and you leave it on long enough, you shut the thing off and the image is still there. It won't go away. Well, that's what you want. You want to be exposed to it so that it burns itself into your mind and into your heart. People say, you know, I just can't understand this book. Well, tell me a verse that you can't understand. Well, it said something about... Well, don't tell me what it said something about. Tell me what the verse said. If you want to understand it, at least get it in your mind and remember it. Because that's how, that's part of the process, how the understanding is going to come. Don't think little of memorizing the Scripture. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. You know what that means, to incline your ear? Has anybody got a dog? You ever make a strange noise in front of your dog and you see what they see? That's that. What is that? Incline your ear. Let your ears perk up. Get the words. Get the words and listen to them. Don't just breeze over them. Sit, rest on them and really listen to what God is saying. And I'll tell you what, if you that in particular, just being there in the conversation. You ever have a conversation with somebody and you're half off somewhere else and half part of you is listening? Don't be that way with God. Incline your ear. You know how to feign interest in any conversation. You two of you are sitting on the chair and you lean forward and you go like this, right? And you pretend like you're listening. Well, don't pretend. Get in there. Incline your ear and listen. And what you'll get that. You know, Solomon says, look, I set these proverbs in order. You go through that and you read that and you go, there's no order to that. They're just all, random sayings. Solomon says different. He says, I set these things in order. How are you going to get that order? You got to incline your ear. You have to listen to what the thing is saying and get the order and the sense and the reason and the logic and the truth out of it. So incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Meditation. Now you understand the difference between Bible meditation and the other stuff that's out there that people that the strange woman calls meditation out there. And don't get confused. Paul says, here, come over with me to Timothy, and I'll tell you first or second when I find it. Paul says to Timothy here in thinking second, but it may very well be first. Yep, 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, all of these things, in the book of Proverbs is to a large part transdispensational truth. Now, not all of it. And you want to be careful. You understand what Paul has given us, and you understand how to use the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, you know how to use the scriptures in light of Pauline truth. So you want to do that. And Proverbs is no different. Listen, in Proverbs chapter 30, it's not Solomon, but Agur there, he says, Lord, two things I'll ask of you. Give me neither riches nor poverty. I don't want to be full, lest I forget the Lord. And I don't want to be poor, lest I steal or take the name of the Lord in vain. So don't give me either one of those two things. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, Paul, on the other hand, and you and I, under grace, Paul says, you know what? I've learned how to be full. And I've learned how to be hungry. I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to suffer need, and I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So there's a difference there between what God provided for these people in terms of strength and power and what the grace of God gives to you and to me today. So it's not all transdispensational, but even in those things, there's tremendous truth, of course, in the distinctions. But for the most part, the Proverbs are just good, sensible truth and advice for people in every age. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not, give attendance to it. See, that's what Solomon's telling us when he tells us to incline our ear. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now that's apply thine heart. That's Christian, biblical meditation. To take the thing that you memorized, and listen, it's hard to meditate on something that you don't have in your head. So that's why the memorization comes first. But you get a verse. If five verses is too much for you, I would argue with you that it's not. But if you then get one or two. Get a verse. Memorize it. And then Think about it. Meditate on it. Take it word for word, clause for clause, phrase for phrase. Think about it. Think about other passages of Scripture. Again, if you've got them in your mind, then you've got that library to draw from. And connect it. Where have I heard that word before? Where has God said that before? What is? How does that connect to this? You know, the she's killed her beasts and mingled her wine and furnished her table. Well, that sounds a lot like what I heard over here. Make those connections. Meditate. Sit and think. Let your mind rest on these things. Back in Proverbs 2 again. I didn't mean to spend our whole time on this one, but it's kind of the crux of it, so I won't be disappointed if we don't get too much more than what's here in chapter 2 in these first five verses. My goodness, we are not going to, because my time is over. So you've received the word, you've hid the commandments, you've memorized. You've inclined your ear. You're hearing what God's saying. You apply your heart. You're thinking about it. You're meditating on it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Don't think for a minute that you're going to understand anything out of the Bible without praying over it and trusting God to reveal it to you. Now that's not... Listen. Take it from me. that's not just something we do, at the beginning and at the end of our Bible studies and so forth. You don't get anything without lifting up your voice for it and crying after it and saying, "Lord, give this thing to me." Sometimes it's sometimes the Lord gives this stuff up easy and sometimes not so easy. But you want to pray. Make prayer an integral part of your Bible study if you want to get some understanding. It's amazing what God will give to you as you're sitting and meditating on these things and asking Him for it. And there starts to be a dialogue and a conversation. And I'm speaking to Him and He's speaking to me. And I've got His Word in front of me and I'm before Him. And there's this communion that's happening. That's what you're looking for in your Bible study, in your time with the Word. And then verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. And that's just getting out the shovel and start digging. Open this book. Start looking at it. Turn the pages. Get the verses. Make the connections. Look at the other verses. Don't just think, oh, that sounds like this and that, and go on. Go back. Get that verse that it sounds like. Compare the two. Is there a connection between them? Dig. Search. Remember, here a little, there a little. That's how the Bible's designed. It's not all in one place. So you'd, and like silver, and like hid treasures. And remember, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge ultimately are hid in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of this book. But if you'll get that, and there are so many more outlines and things in these first eight chapters, I'm going to have to leave that to you to go ahead and seek out. Get those first five verses, though, of Proverbs chapter 2. Let that be your formula. Seriously, step by step, learn it, apply it, see if it doesn't, see if it's not profitable for you. We're done. Do you have a question? Yes. Write it. That's a great point and a great tip. Yeah, if you're having trouble remembering and memorizing something, write it. Write it word for word, and that will definitely help. The more sense pathways that you can get something to come through the ear, through the eye, through, you know, the better you'll retain it. If you hear the word, if you read the word, if you're writing the thing down, the more you can do to, you know, the more it'll help you. All right. Boy, that 10:30 snuck up on me like a strange woman.